It belongs to the Jewish people. It never stopped belonging to the Jewish people. It's just that when they cut off the tree, all these things no longer profit them, but it's still theirs. Now, the reason it's important to understand is because throughout the centuries and up until today, still, Christian theologians and preachers have tried to use the biblical doctrines of election and predestination to deny the Jewish people their rightful place in God's plan. And even though Paul stated in no uncertain terms that his kinsmen according to the flesh are called by God to be his holy nation regardless of the present condition, many people continue to assert that not all Jews are called, but only the Jews who end up saved are called. Okay, now this has nothing to do with what Dr. Barber's teaching. This is just a general thing in replacement theology. People who try to say the Jews aren't special, they try to make the Gentiles replace them, whether they say it or not, and turn everything that was meant for the Jews into a Gentile version of it. The olive tree becomes a Gentile tree. Salvation becomes a Gentile salvation with a Gentile heaven, with the Jews on earth and Gentile heaven, all that kind of stuff. It's very clear that Paul says, regardless of spiritual condition, this all applies to the Jewish race, not just the Jews who are saved. So the idea that theologians put forth is, they use predestination election in there to get the idea that before the world was created, God elected some Jews and some Gentiles to be his holy nation, okay? To be one new man, the holy nation. So the specialness really has nothing to do with the Jewish people per se. It's just that it has to do with all the elect, and some of them just happen to be Jews. Some of the elect just happen to be Jews, but the whole focus of the specialness is just on the elect itself, and nothing to, nobody's preferred above the other. Nobody was first before the other. It's just we're all the same. Some Jews happen to be part of that. Some Gentiles happen to be part of it. The result of the Gentile arrogance that you see everywhere. See, because though somebody in this room may be an elect Scandinavian or an elect Italian, or elect African American, or whatever, elect Briton. God never chose your race. If you're elect Briton or elect German, God never chose your race to be his own treasure. He never brought the Irish nation, or the German nation, or the French nation to himself at Sinai and cut an eternal covenant with them. Paul states emphatically that everything pertaining to the tree, a good olive tree, is to his kinsmen and to the flesh. They don't just belong to the elect, saved Jew, they belong to every Jew. I'm reiterating that again and again because that's what Paul said. And sometimes people get so blind they can't see what's right in front of their face. Now, like I said, all these things they don't profit the Jews if they're not walking in faith except the Messiah. It doesn't profit them. But that doesn't belong to them. And it was intended for them. Then God granted many Gentiles who believe in Israel's Messiah into that tree. So as a result of being granted in, we're partaking of everything. The root, what Paul calls the root and fatness. That's the life and all the blessings of the tree. The root and fatness is the life and the blessings of the tree. Everything was told to Abraham, everything was promised to Isaac, everything promised to Jacob, everything promised to 12 tribes is for you and me. Both the spiritual inheritance and the natural inheritance, which includes the land, is for you and me. And that's where dispensationalism is wrong, because it says the millennium and the earthly Israel is just a Jewish thing, and the Christian Gentiles will be somewhere floating in the air in heaven or whatever, eating our popsicles with our mansions and playing our golden harps and all that kind of stuff, great stuff. So in that sense, it is wrong. But what God's doing is, he's like Steve said yesterday, it was a good point he made, such a good point, that God's doing the same thing with Christians that he's doing with Israel right now. He's bringing them back into the land, and then he's going to cleanse them. He's bringing us into our land, and he's teaching us how to be cleansed. And he didn't go very far enough, though, because what's going to happen is that process where God's working with Israel on one level and working with the church in another level, that process is going to eventually converge in the millennium. The spiritual creation, the natural creation are going to converge. Natural Israel and the church are going to converge. There's going to be the living and the dead are going to converge in the resurrection. Everything is going to converge in the millennium. And what's going to happen is you're going to have a new creation nation that is run by new creation men and women. It's a totally different thing. And it's going to be the completed Israel, the completed olive tree. It will no longer be a Jewish entity. It's going to be a new man entity. However, it will always be that this stuff was originally intended for and given to the Jew first. That's why Paul said to the Jew first in Romans. Salvation to the Jew first. You want to go preach? Preach to the Jew first. Damnation to the Jew first. The Jew was first. Get it, Gentile? The Jew was first. Gentiles don't like that. Gentiles are arrogant. They have an arrogant attitude towards the Jews, even if it's subtle and hidden most of the time. They don't want to acknowledge the role, the central role, the important role the Jewish people had and have in God's plan. And like I say, in the end, it's going to be a new man thing, not a Jewish thing. However, that does not take away the place the Jews always had and will have in God's economy. There's certain things never do for any other nation. Now, we have better things than we did for Old Testament Israel. I'm just saying, the Gentiles do not like that. Gentiles have an inbred natural resentment towards Israel. And most of the Christians who are pro-Israel are not pro-Israel because they actually love the Jews. They're pro-Israel because of their doctrine. They're pro-Israel because of the rapture. They want Israel back in the land not because they love the Jews, not because they have a burden for the Jews, not because they have any compassion for them or have any mercy on them. They want them back in the land, most of them, because they want them back in the land so they can be raptured. It's all a theological thing. And that's why Dr. Barber could go from the dispensation for 25 years. He thought the Jewish people could do no wrong. He thought it was a curse on you if you didn't support the Jewish state. You know, he's so pro-Jewish. But see, it was all doctrinal. It all had to do with his theology. And now he's got a different theology, and it's now anti-Israel. So one theology produced a pro-Israel stance, but it wasn't what God's doing in people. See, God's putting the love in people's heart for the Jewish people, regardless of their condition. And God's making it real to us, our Hebraic spiritual roots. Now, I'm not talking about natural roots. I'm not talking about going back into the law, becoming kosher and all that. But we have Hebraic roots, trees, or whatever trees we're cut out of. We're cut out of that tree. That tree is our nation. It's our heritage, whether Germans, French, Italians, whatever. We're cut out of the French nation. We're cut out of the German nation. We're cut out of the American nation. And we're granted into the Israel of God. And now we have a different history. Our history is not the forefathers of this nation. Do you understand that? Our history is no longer the forefathers of America. Our history is the forefathers of Israel. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Our destiny is not the destiny of America. Our destiny is the destiny of Israel, to be a light to the world, to bring salvation to the world, to set creation free, to become sons of God. People don't understand what Israel is or what it means to be joined to Israel, okay? But anyway, that's what God's doing. He's joining people, the Christian people, to Israel, to his Israel, and you cannot be joined to that Israel without coming in contact with, having to deal with the Jewish people. It was their Israel first. It was given to them. It was them. And there's a portion of them going to be brought back into it at the end. So you just can't ignore them and say, well, now, God turned from the Jews, and even though he might say some in the end, it's all about us. It's all about us, you know, us Gentile Christians. That is garbage. It's not about us. In the end, it's not going to be about them either. It's going to be about the new man. But right now, we're still in the old man in our bodies, so we still got to deal with these issues. The couple more things I wanted to say about Dr. Barber said. He also had an article called The Controversy for Zion. There's two parts. I read through the one today just to see what he was saying. Because since I originally downloaded that one article that I went through the other week with about him, I haven't been back to his site. I didn't know what he's teaching. I don't want to know what he's teaching. You know, I didn't want to go into any more of that. But I just felt the Lord prompted me to look at something else today. And I looked at this two-part series he had called The Controversy of Zion. As I was reading, you can't imagine all the stuff he was saying. It's so messed up. And first of all, a lot of stuff he's taking is from a guy named Stephen Jones, who's a universalist. But he said a couple things in here that are so blatantly anti-scriptural, I can't believe that he would even say it. And my point is not to bust on Dr. Barber, okay? I'm sure he has a lot of good things in his ministry. But when the Gentile pride gets to a point in your life, it overtakes you, and you are blind. Blind and hard to what God's doing and what God's going to be doing with the Christians and the Jews and as we converge in the end, as we go forward in the kingdom and as convergence happens. Now, I read you a quote from this article, God's Controversy with Zion. And of course, the whole thing he's trying to say is Israel's not the chosen people anymore. Israel's not special. You know, the state of Israel was a mistake, or not a mistake, but it wasn't of God. Although God allowed it, it was not God bringing them back. It was the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds created the state of Israel as a ruse to deceive people and have the Jews bring the Gentiles under subjugation. At one point he says, therefore the real Israel of God is the one new man in the earth composed of saved Jews and Gentiles. That's true. But, of course, he only has part of the truth and the rest of it's wrong. He says, not that secular thing in Israel. You can feel the sarcasm coming out. He didn't say, therefore the real Israel of God is the one new man in the earth composed of saved Jews and Gentiles, not natural Israel, not literal Israel, not the state of Israel. It says, not that secular thing. I mean, can't you just feel? You just feel the sarcasm coming off, you know? It's that arrogant sarcasm coming off of him, okay? Because he feels he was in bondage to a false doctrine about the Jews for 25 years, and now he's just totally against it, and just... the sarcasm drips from his lips when he talks about it. Anyway, he goes on to say, the modern state of Israel, which many rabbis in Israel today concede, is primarily made up of the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, not the former 10 northern tribes that God destroyed and removed them from the land to intermingle with the Assyrians and the Europeans. So he's saying the modern Israel really is just Judah and Benjamin, with some Levi there. The 10 northern tribes are actually gone and lost. They're interbred and intermingled with the Assyrians and eventually the Europeans. And that's where you get the lost 10 tribes or the Europeans, descendants of the Europeans and all that. In case somebody doesn't know, the 10 northern tribes are called Israel or Ephraim in the Old Testament once they split. Once the one kingdom of Israel split into two kingdoms after Solomon, the northern 10 tribes and two southern tribes. The northern were Ephraim. The two southern tribes were called Judah and Benjamin were one. Israel, that is the 10 northern tribes, went into captivity to Assyria. And then 400 years later, Judah, the two southern tribes, went into captivity to Babylon. So what Dr. Barber is saying is the 10 northern tribes were intermingled with Assyrians and eventually the Europeans. The implication is they're gone. They're lost. Okay, they've been assimilated. So when you go through the prophecies of the Old Testament, I mean, this is clearly not the case. I'm going to go to... I could bring a lot of these out, okay, but it takes too much time, and it's not profitable. Just one or two will take. All it takes is one. What did I say? Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah 50, I think it is. Yeah, Jeremiah 50. I'm going to put up 17 through 20. My point is people get blind, and then they read the Scripture, and what the plain, obvious meaning of what the Scripture says totally eludes them, totally. They can't see because their mind is blind. It's covered by spirit. Okay, Jeremiah 50, 17, 18, 19. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria has devoured him. And last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. The God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon in his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel, on Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. And I forgot the next one. The next one's the one I wanted, I'm sorry. And in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. The remnant that survives the coming Holocaust, or the coming devastation in Israel, he says that in that day, at that day, they're going to look for the iniquity of Israel, that's the 10 northern tribes, and they're going to look for the sins of Judah, that's the two southern tribes, and they're not going to be found. So, if Israel was disseminated, integrated into Europe, and you can't find there are no 12 tribes, then God could not restore Israel. Okay, he couldn't bring Israel back. He couldn't even talk about Israel or Ephraim. He just talked about Judah all the time. Judah, 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 Judah. Because there is no Israel, right? Now, another angle, this is a new one. I've never heard this before, I got to admit. Another angle he goes into is he says Israel is actually Edom. Has anybody ever heard that before? Okay, I'll quote you what he says. What he says is, he says Edom is actually Israel, and the prophecies regarding the destruction of Edom in the book of Obadiah are really about the destruction of modern-day Israel. Now, this is what he says. Today, modern Israel is a mixture of Jews and Edomites, as the house of Esau was conquered by the tribe of Judah and made to conform to Judaism in about 130 B.C. During the time of the Hasmonean ruler, John Hyrcanus, Judah conquered Edom, which the Romans called Edomia, and forced the Edomites to convert to Judaism. Okay, so the Edomites were integrated into the Jewish people. Now he quotes this from Wikipedia, Encyclopedia. The book of Obadiah as a prophecy calling for the destruction of the Palestinians, whom they equate with Edom. Sorry. When it deals with the modern illegal state of Israel, modern Edom. If you think I'm all wet, then read what the Jewish Encyclopedia stated in 1925 about the existence of Ashkenazi Jews who represented approximately 90% of world Jewry. With the starting admission that so-called enemy of the Jews, Esau, also known as Edom, now actually represents the Jewish race. On page 42, volume 5, it states, Edom is modern Jewry. So he says, if the book of Obadiah is about the destruction of Edomites, then it's also about the destruction of the illegal state. So the modern state of Israel is actually Edom. Now, this is the same kind of stuff that goes on. I heard this in another angle, which was the Khazars. I don't know if anybody ever heard of Khazars, okay? There was a kingdom supposed to be back in, I don't know the exact dates of this, I think 300 or something like that, 300 or 400 AD. It was Khazaria. They were Gentiles, and somehow the Jews took that over, and all the Gentiles of Khazaria became Jews, and so they call them Khazars. And so people like, all the conspiracy people, Ted Pike, and all of them, they say there are no Jews. Now some people say there's no 10 northern tribes, there's no Israel, there's only Judah. They say there's nothing, there's no Israel, and there's no Jews. They're all Gentiles converted to Judaism. And the Khazars are Gentiles converted to Judaism, and they're the Jews, modern-day Jews. So there are no Jews, there are no Ephraimites, there are no Israelites. They're all gone. That's the same kind of angle he's talking about here. It's the same kind of thing he's saying. that through all the prophet books, the prophetic books of the Old Testament, he's going to bring, he says, God's over and over again, he's going to bring the captivity of Israel, the captivity of Judah, he's going to bring the captivity of Ephraim, you know. So the Jews are really no longer Jews, then the people of Judah, especially, could not possibly be restored. He goes on to say, he's trying to refute dispensationalism here. Dispensationalists believe that certain prophecies predict that modern Israel is going to eventually attack and destroy the Palestinians. Does anybody know about those? I'm sure you've probably heard them. They say the Palestinians are the Philistines, okay? These Christians who interpret that, they say the modern-day Philistines, okay? Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But what is true is there are going to be Philistines in the last days. But listen to what Dr. Barber says. When he's talking about the identity of Arabs, he's saying not all Arabs are actually Arabs. He says, this is what he says. Arab technically refers to a mixed race of people living in the Arabian Peninsula. Therefore, the Saudi Arabians are Arabs in the true sense of the word. In contrast, the Palestinians are a mixed group of people descended from Esau, Ishmael, and the other Hamite nations. The Palestinians have Babylonian, Persian, Egyptian, Jewish, etc. blood in their ancestral bloodline. So now the Palestinians are Jews too. The Philistines were totally wiped out and today do not exist, as were the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Hivites, etc. Okay? The Philistines do not exist. That's his statement. The Philistines do not exist. They're wiped out in history. Now, listen to what God's Word says. It's going to be Isaiah 11. 11 through 16, if you want to. If you got a Bible, you want to turn and read it, or you want to write it down later, read it later. It's Isaiah 11, 11 through 16. And this is what it says. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they, Ephraim and Judah, they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. Where is the west? That's Gaza and all that. That's the Philistines. Okay, that's the Palestinians. Okay, shall fly upon the. But anyway, what it is, that's not true. There are somewhere there's going to be Philistines in this world. All right. Shall fly upon the shores of the Philistines toward the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey him. Okay? And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in seven streams, and make men to go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that came up out of the land of Egypt. Now, the point I want to make was, when it says the Lord's going to set his hand a second time to recover the remnant of his people, that means 1948. The first time he recovered them was from Babylon. Then he brought them back to the land. They were in the land when Jesus came. The Romans had them. The second time is after the Romans, after the destruction of the temple, after they were decimated and driven out back a second time. That means 1948. Now, after bringing them back in 1948, it says both Judah and Ephraim's going to deal with the non-existent Philistines. Okay? It also says they're going to lay their hand on Edom, okay? Which would mean they're going to lay their hand on themselves if they're Edom, okay? Clearly, Edom is not Israel. So my point is, when you get on this spirit, and it is a spirit, it's a Gentile spirit of arrogance that wants to look down your nose to Jews, and it blinds us that we can't even see the obvious. I mean, I think the Philistines are the Palestinians, not modern Palestinians. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. But even if the Palestinians aren't the Philistines, somewhere in this world there's Philistines. And brother, Israel's going to pounce on them. They didn't disappear. They're not non-existent. Now why is it this brother, who is a doctor, who is brilliant, who's been in three different seminaries, has been educated, who's been in the army, in intelligence, knows the Bible for 25 years, why is it that he can't see what's written in black and white there? How can he say the Philistines don't exist anymore when God says in the end days, somebody has to do with Israel is going to pounce on them? So my point is, again, I'm not just busting on Dr. Barber because he's just one of many, 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 many people who have come under this anti-Semitic. I don't even want to say anti-Semitic because maybe they don't all go to the extreme. Maybe they're not all anti-Semitic. They haven't progressed to that point yet. But there's certainly Gentile arrogance involved. They don't understand that we've been granted into somebody else's destiny and history and promises and their relationship to God. It should create in us a humility. It should humble us to know that we were made part of God's original chosen people instead of producing pride and looking down our noses at the branches. the branches are cut off, instead of being high-minded. And when people don't understand the relation between the Christian church and the Jews and how it's coming together slowly, it's like two train tracks. It's like a train track over here and a train track over here, but instead of going straight, they're on a diagonal line, on a convergence course. And soon they're going to converge. And it's not going to be a Jewish thing, but it also ain't going to be a Gentile thing. However, it will never change that the Jewish people were originally God's chosen people. All this stuff applied to them first, still applies to them. So that helps us keep a humble attitude towards unbelieving Jews when this becomes a reality of us. Plus, when you allow God to put a love in your heart for the Jewish people, like he started 15, 16, 18, 20 years ago, maybe, I don't know exactly when, but I know it was within my lifetime that he started putting love in the Gentile Christians' hearts for Israel, started putting a desire for them to go to Israel, to be in Israel. Now, of course, whenever God moves, it has to go through the matrix of our doctrine, the matrix of our experience, how we see things and view things. So lots of people got all twisted and wrong because of their doctrine. You know, they sent it through their little matrix that came out as something weird. And a lot of it went into Messianic Judaism. A lot of Gentiles got involved in keeping the law again. They know they're justified by faith, but they got involved in this idea that you can be sanctified by keeping the law, you know. So, and they get into Messianic Judaism. They start going to Messianic synagogues. So all kinds of people get all kinds of strange things because when God moves, it has to go filtered through your doctrine. You know, if your doctrine's messed up, then even though God's moving, it's going to come less. God was started moving on the Gentiles' hearts, give them a desire to be in Jerusalem, desire to go to Jerusalem, a desire to be not involved, but, you know, somewhat connected to the Jewish people, maybe learn about the Jewish heritage a little bit. For a while, we had a Gentile version of Shabbat. You know, maybe about 6 months, God was making this real to us. And we had no desire to keep kosher or anything like that. And we didn't go to a Messianic synagogue. We did go to a regular synagogue a couple of times a week to learn Hebrew because we were going to Israel. But we just went there to learn the language and get a little bit of the culture. And so we weren't, you know, getting involved in Judaism per se at all. But we had a little Gentile version of Shabbat every Friday. And we had Gentile version of matzo ball soup and Gentile little songs. One time we even sang, "May the Lord God bless you." And, you know, anybody ever see Fill the Roof? We sat down at Shabbat table, they sang that song. And that, "May you be like Ruth and Esther," and all that. So God used that to make it real to us what he was doing. You know, we never felt to get involved anymore with that. But there was something God started doing 15, 20 years ago with the Jewish people. And it's in preparation for the joining that's going to be from the sons of God, those who are walking in the high calling, and the remnant that's saved, you know, when all this is over. And I tell you, Steve hit it right on the head yesterday. Right on the head when he said, older brother who was jealous, because that's what's going to happen to all these people. Paul says in another place, he says, if their fall is the riches of the Gentiles, what is going to be receiving them be but life in the dead? When God receives them back in, the remnant back in, there's going to be such a jubilation and such a joy in heaven. And all the focus for a moment, not forever, not during the kingdom, but for a moment, for that moment, all the focus and all the joy of heaven is going to be on those Jews that God has finally brought back in. I'm telling you. And if you're a Gentile that has a bad attitude or walking in your own conceit, that's going to turn you big time. You're not going to be able to stand to see the focus is put on the Jewish people as they come back in. What do you think is going to happen when God brings them back in? It's going to be so spectacular. It's going to be life from the dead. It's going to be part of the resurrection. It's going to be a whole thing happening there. And it's going to be monumental. And the Jews, there's going to be a rejoicing over the Jews. And if we're the older brother, we're not going to like it. So I love that Steve did that. That was so perfect. That was right on. Okay, I rambled on enough. I'm sorry I ran on so long. I didn't plan on going that long, but I just want to warn everybody, just a friendly warning, brotherly warning, Jerusalem's going to be the capital of the world, and the sons of God are going to be ruling from Jerusalem as well as in each nation. And there's going to be a literal capital of this earth in the millennium, and it's going to be Jerusalem. And it's going to be the new man. It's going to be a new creation nation ruling the nations of the earth, and a new creation nation is going to be made up of new creation men and women, not Gentiles, not Jews, new creations. Okay, it's a whole new race. God's creating a whole new human race that's more than human. It's superhuman. It's divine. So don't let anybody turn your heart against the Jews, no matter what happens in the future. Anybody have anything to share now? Anybody want any comments on that or anything like that? So was I clear? Did I make anything clear? Anybody disagree with what I'm saying? Want to challenge me or anything or talk about it? You're allowed. No, thank you, Emma. Wow, great, thanks. Bill and Karen says, thank you, Dan, and help me understand. Great, good. Karen says, I hear slow. Should we try another song? Or are you tired of hearing me sing? This is called Jesus Take Me As I Am. Is everybody still there? Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Let my flesh light melt away. Stone, crystal clear and finally whole. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. As I am, I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Let my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finally whole. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory. Take as I am, I can go away. Take me deeper into you. Let my flesh like melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finally whole. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Jesus, as I am, I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Let my flesh, life melt away. Precious stone, crystal clear and finally whole. Life of Jesus shining in. You guys heard that right? Okay. Actually, these ones I'm singing aren't on the website, and I don't have them recorded anywhere. That's why I'm singing them. They're good songs, but I can't put them on. Well, anybody have anything to share? I did all talking so far. Saddle says, my comment was about those who go to the other extreme and make the Jewish people an idol. Yes, that's called Philo-Semitism, and consider Jews our spiritual brethren and want to fellowship. Yes, you're right, Paul. That's called Philo-Semitism. There's anti-Semitism, and the other end of that is called Philo-Semitism. Involved with them, treat them like brethren, even though they're not saved. That's right. And we don't believe that either. I believe you can show love to the Jewish people and still be truthful with them. And they like, we have Jewish friends in Israel who know we're Christians, but they know we love them. And they, you know, we've told them Jesus is the Messiah. We believe that. Stanfast says, I've been away for a few weeks. Could be back. Computer crashed. Computers are the devil's playground, but they do work for the Lord's work if you're doing the Lord's work. It's, oh, you were Little Flock? Stanfast was Little Flock. I remember you haven't been around for a while. Yeah, thank you for speaking the word with us. Hey, I thought you're welcome. I'm glad if it helped anybody. You know, the Lord told us a long time ago to take a stand for, take a strong stand for the Jewish people, because that's going to be a dividing line, one of the dividing lines in the end times. The whole world's turned against Jewish people. Truly, it's humbling and exciting to know that we are a part of the promises. Yes, it is. And you know, you don't have to exalt the Jewish people and put them on a pedestal and all that in order to just know that and to be grateful. And just God wants people to walk in the middle here. He doesn't want anti-Semites. He doesn't want them to be philo-Semites. Just understand that, you know, we've been grafted in to somebody else's privileges and heritages. It's ours, just as much ours as theirs now, but it doesn't take away that it was theirs, you know, to begin with. Bill and Karen says, we're with you, Brother Dan. Thank you. God bless. Amen. It's a horrible thing that happens to people like Dr. Barber. I mean, he was a pro-Israel guy, but it was all theological. It wasn't in the heart. See, what God's doing is he's putting it in the heart. He's putting it in the heart of his people. And so either theology isn't right, or you don't get the theology worked out right, or some things you don't understand, the attitude is there. The love is there. You know, because it's coming from into the heart first. Then the brain will follow. When it's all brain before, it's all brain and no heart, you can be switched. So, anybody else have anything? Nobody has anything else. We'll all see you next week. I'm sorry about the confusion here. And glad you came. God bless you all. And we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.